Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Oh, bring it up, Jake. Let's go. Otherwise known as the Power Hour. Femi and Pepefe hanging out with PJ Glasser. PJ doing an awesome job filling in for Nick Kostos. Nick will be back with us tomorrow as he has finalized his move. He's in a new studio. We got to see it during one of our breaks. He is doing well, sounding great, looking great, and will be back with us to break down some National Football League coming up on a Tuesday. But the Glass Man's been holding it down for the first 3 hours, and we are going to rock it for the final 60 minutes here on You Better You Bet. Because 40 minutes from now, all of our bets from across the world of sports with our Power Hour plays. Got a full slate of Major League Baseball with 8 games. Got an NFL game Monday Night Football, which we're a couple hours away from our nation's capital between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Washington Commanders. Right now, looking at the betting markets, Cincinnati, 3.5-point favorites, total 43. Now, that's the case because we're expecting to see both starting quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels, sounds like he'll play maybe a series or two. Zach Taylor, about like a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, said that the starters for the Cincinnati Bengals will be playing quite a bit in the preseason. So expect the Bengals and Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase to be out there for about a quarter. You will see a lot of starters on the field tonight, so that's why you have a total that high. And also, preseason overs have been cashing. So it's we've seen a lot of overs getting home at the window through the first couple of weeks here. So once again, total 43. Cincinnati, though, a 3.5-point favorite on the road against the Washington Commanders. We'll get to the Commanders and the Bengals' outlooks in just a second for the upcoming 2025 regular season. But we wrapped up the last hour talking about NFL teams that could go from first to worst. Now, we always talk about, all right, who can surprise? Who's the bad team that might be good? We discussed that in the 4 o'clock hour. Make sure you check it out in podcast form if you missed it. But what about the teams who won their divisions and then the next year end up in last place? Don't believe me? Just look at last year's San Francisco 49ers, who suffered a number of injuries, season got off the rails, and they were your last place team in the NFC West. So let's go ahead and go through the teams that could potentially go from first to worst this year. PJ, in the last segment, in the other hours, talked about the Detroit Lions as his team that could go from first to worst. My team is a team in the NFC West, the Ramily, the Los Angeles Rams, with Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. Now, this, of course, is very much injury-related, which we already have the injury that we've been discussing over the last few weeks throughout training camp. Matthew Stafford dealing with an aggravated disc. That is before playing any games this year. And it started first week of training camp, day to day, actually week to week. Oh, he's going to work out and they'll start practicing. Oh, he worked out and actually missed the next week of practice. Oh, he's going to work out on Saturday. Oh, he's actually not going to work out. But today, Matthew Stafford finally returned to the practice field for his first training camp practice and participated in about 26 plays during team drills. But with all that being said, with all that that's out there about this situation, I think it is very, very fickle, and I am looking to fade the Rams this year. And as much as it pains me to say it, I do believe the Rams could be that team that won the division in 2024 that actually finishes in last in 2025. Because let's go through the division. The San Francisco 49ers, they're currently your favorites. I think that is right. I actually think there's some value betting San Francisco at plus 165. Now, they're dealing with their own injuries, but it feels like the main one that's hovering right now is this Brandon Ayuk issue coming back from the ACL that he suffered last year. He's going to miss at least the first 4 games of the season, maybe a little bit more. But Ayuk will be back some point in October. McCaffrey, let's see if they can keep him healthy. Let's see if they can keep Trent Williams, their left tackle, healthy. But if the Niners get a decent bill of health, This team is clearly the best team in the division, the most talented team in the division, and they have a very easy schedule. So I would actually like the Niners to win the division. So boom, we already got one team above the Rams. The Arizona Cardinals. I'm not as in love with them, but I can also acknowledge I think their defense is going to be pretty good this year. And Jonathan Gannon, like, he's got the guys on that side of the ball to finally have the defense that he has envisioned. They bring over his guy, Josh Sweat, from the Philadelphia Eagles. They've continued to pour resources into that front seven. Secondary is pretty solid. I could see the Arizona Cardinals defense cooking with gas a little bit in 2025. Offensively, let's see if we can get a step forward from Marvin Harrison Jr. in year two. Trey McBride, friend of the show here on You Better, You Bet. He's a stud at tight end. Kyler Murray, I'm not a fan of Kyler Murray. Like, it's always a tale of two halves when we talk about the totality of the season when it comes to Kyler Murray. But I do think that this team is going to be like in that 8-9 win range to where they could easily be in second place or third place. The Seattle Seahawks, a team that I actually despise this upcoming season. I'm not that high on them. But I'm also leaving room to potentially be wrong about the Seahawks with Clint Kubiak as their offensive coordinator. Now, I think they took a big step back at quarterback, going from Geno Smith to Sam Darnold. But if they run the football really well, maybe they can hide Sam Darnold to where he doesn't have to participate in the games as much and is maybe just having to manage the games and lean on what is a young and upcoming defense led by head coach Mike McDonald. You don't have to stretch that far, PJ, to get to the Rams potentially finishing in last, especially if the most important player, that being the 37-year-old quarterback, is dealing with chronic back injuries throughout the course of a 17-game schedule. So for me, first to worst, the LA Rams, who were the Ramley a season ago, we want no parts of it. We're out on them in 2025.
Makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, I took the Lions, and you take the Rams, and you look at the NFC North and the NFC West, and these are the two divisions top to bottom with the closest odds between the four teams, and you laid it out pretty nicely. All four of these teams. I will disagree with you, though, on Seattle. This is probably my big upset division pick of the year. I think the Seahawks win the NFC West. I actually like them a lot. And because...
Okay.
It's because of Mike McDonald, Femi, and I'm just a huge believer. Look, watching that guy 2 years as the Ravens defensive coordinator, I can't remember what reporter said it, but he basically said that Mike McDonald is defensive Sean McVay. And it's like the perfect comp. And I watch what year two of the Ravens defense looked like when they won the Triple Crown on defense. They had the most sacks in the league. They caused the most turnovers, and they gave up the fewest points. Now, there's a lot more talent on that Ravens defense that McDonald had in year two than there is on the Seattle defense. But like you said, they have a lot of young and up-and-coming players. I think their secondary is going to be solid. I like what they did in the offseason going out and getting DeMarcus Lawrence to help out for that pass rush in the defensive line. And what I really like about Seattle last year, they went 7-1 on the road, but they went 3-6 at home. Mm. When we think about Seattle, we think about the 12th man. Think about that home field. We think about how great they are in front of their fans. They were only 3-6 at home last year, Femi, but they were 7-1 on the road. And I think a product of that is Mike McDonald, John Schneider, how they're building their team defensively, running the football, things that win games on the road. So I think Seattle's going to be good again on the road this season. And just the way that the last 20, 25 years have gone and how tough they normally are at home, if they're better in Seattle, then they should be a playoff team this year and maybe a team that ends up winning the NFC West. So I'm with you. Definitely a downgrade going from Geno to Sam Darnold. I do think Darnold's going to play well, though. And I don't think Seattle's offense gets enough credit for the weapons that they have. Because they traded away Metcalf and Geno Smith, we all kind of just think Seattle's in a rebuild, potentially. I love their 1-2 punch, though, with Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet. I think that's a really underrated running back duo in the NFL. Both of those guys are really solid backs. JSN's a really good young receiver. Cooper Kupp, obviously, toward the later stages of his career, but he's going to play that Tyler Lockett role that was so effective for Seattle his entire career. And then Torrey Horton, we talked about him before. He's, I mean, impressing throughout training camp and in the preseason. So I like this Seattle team, and I think they're getting disrespected because they got rid of their quarterback and they got rid of their top receiver. But You know, that's a smart front office. Femi, you obviously grew up in that area. You know the Seahawks organization well. You know how well-run they have been since John Schneider has taken over at GM. Mike McDonald was a great hire. I think that's going to pay off this season in year two. I think they're going to take a big step. And for everything you said about the other teams, Rams and the Stafford injury, Arizona, the defense should be improved, but you don't trust Kyler Murray. Comes down to Seattle and San Francisco, but at price, plus 525, that's my big take on divisions this year, is Seattle winning the NFC West.
Look at you. I mean, PJ has been on the record. He wants Mike McDonald to be the coach of the Baltimore Ravens.
Dude, love him. He's the best. He is the best, Femi.
That's your guy.
It is.
Mike McDonald is your guy. Like a year ago, you were saying we should have fired Harbaugh and hired Mike McDonald and not let him go to Seattle. Yes. So, like, you're backing it up. You like him quite a bit. Like, the point that you brought about the defense, I think, does ring true. I just can't get there with Sam Darnold as the quarterback. Like, that's where I see the Seahawks. I'm like, no. Because just as you're saying that Jared Goff is a product of McVay and Ben Johnson, Sam Darnold, I know for a fact, is a product of Kevin O'Connell. Like, he was horrendous with the Jets, horrendous with the Panthers. Here's KOC and Justin Jefferson. Oh, look at Sam Darnold. He's pretty good. It was all infrastructure. There's been no other data point that showed that this guy can play the position. So I'm way out. And if you're going to make that big of a drop-off, it's hard for me to buy in into the team, but I respect you for buying in when it comes to Seattle Seahawks. I just can't get there. But I do think there's a chance that they maybe finish above the Rams, because I think if Stafford's out, boy, the Jimmy G experience is not one you want to be a part of. Not one bit. Not in 2025. So I think there's a potential for the Rams to finish in last place in the NFC West. Let's go ahead and get to the two teams tonight, though, because we do have Monday Night Football once again in our nation's capital. Bengals at the Commanders. And the futures outlook in 2025 with both of these teams. Now, Cincinnati, I've discussed, so I want to kind of hit Washington here, PJ, and get your thoughts as well on both of these teams. But from a season outlook standpoint, the Commanders are the team that I think I've struggled the most with. Of the teams that are considered contenders, they're definitely at the top of the list. So the teams where I keep going back and forth. All the signs point to regression. They all point to, this team was on a magical ride last year. This team was very fortunate. A lot of close games went their way. All of the fourth downs went their way last year. I think maybe only one didn't go their way. Like, all of the high leverage moments went the Commanders' way. And that usually regresses. Now, the flip side of the coin is that they have the quarterback who I think is the best quarterback in the conference, in Jaden Daniels. Like, I think he is that dude. He's that good. And I think we're going to see it again in 2025. I just think that the way the season's going to play out, and it's kind of something that I've been like working towards here, but I think I've pegged it now finally as we're a couple weeks out. I think they're going to have a pretty similar season to what we saw with the Houston Texans last year, where like the team doesn't look as good. They take a little bit of a step back, but they find themselves in the playoffs, and they actually win a playoff game. Because in the playoffs, I'll take Daniels over anybody else in the NFC. And I'll go down swinging with that. The way I want to bet the Commanders this year, PJ, it's going to get a little bit cute, but I want some plus money. Commanders stage of elimination over at BetMGM. To lose in the divisional round, plus 450. I don't think this team has conference title round upside, but I do think in a playoff game, in a wild card round, they are going to be as dangerous as anyone could be. I think like Houston did, losing in the divisional round in Stroud's first two seasons, I think that happens with the Commanders losing in the divisional round in Jaden Daniels' first two seasons, plus 450 over at BetMGM.
I think it's a great comp with Houston. Obviously, Stroud and Jaden Daniels, the rookie seasons that they had, the expectations going into year two. Like you said, Houston didn't look quite as strong, but you look up, they make the playoffs. The key is, though, that Houston's division is way easier than obviously Washington's is with Philadelphia, and I think Dallas is going to be better than people think. My take on Washington, Femi.
Hope so.
For your sake, I hope so, too. This is my take on Washington, and I wonder if you agree with this. My biggest thing with the Commanders is every year the Commanders play one, maybe two primetime games, right? This year, Femi, as it stands, they have 6 primetime games on their schedule, and they have 7 standalone games. The one primetime game that they don't have is an international game against the Dolphins. They also play Philadelphia in Week 18, so depending on how the seasons go, that could be that Sunday night game to maybe decide the division, potentially. I just think for a team and an organization and a franchise that is not used to having a target on their back and everybody getting up for Washington being on their schedule, I think it's going to be a real adjustment for them. This idea that maybe Jaden Daniels is going to regress, I'm not buying it. The kid's too good. Like that I just don't think will happen. I think the team, though, in that schedule and all the primetime games, when you're not used to that, there's a reason the good teams are great every year. Great quarterback play, and they're used to taking everybody's best shot. That's a big adjustment for Washington, and it's why I think they're going to miss the playoffs.
Wow. Commanders out. The best quarterback in the conference. We'll see if that happens in 2025. On the other side, we'll see if PJ can finally convince me that the Bengals are going to be good this upcoming season. It's coming at you next year. Power Hour rolling along here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on You Better You Bet. Power Hour rolling along on a Monday. Femi Abebefe, PJ Glasser hanging out with you guys. We got Monday Night Football tonight between the Bengals and the Commanders. Kickoff about 8 o'clock Eastern. Very much looking forward to that game. The point spread right now as we're getting closer and closer to kickoff. Cincinnati, 3.5-point favorites, total sitting at 43. Although there's a little bit of interest on Washington. There's a pretty sharp sports book here in Las Vegas that has the Commanders as a 3-point dog. So 3.5 is still your consensus number, but money coming in on the underdog right now. Total still sky high. Open 39.5, now out to 43. As we've seen a lot of preseason games go over the total, and we know both teams will be playing their starters tonight. To what degree, we'll find out in real time. But I would assume that Joe Burrow and the Bengals probably get about a quarter, and maybe we see a couple series from Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, who will be without Terry McLaurin, who's once again holding in search of a new contract. We'll give out our bets for that coming up in the next segment. Bets in Major League Baseball as well coming up in the next segment. But PJ, we left off discussing both of these teams, the Commanders and the Bengals, and their outlook on this 2025 season. You like Washington to miss the playoffs. I'm going to get a little bit cute, get a little bit exotic, and bet the Commanders' exact stage of elimination to be the divisional round at plus 450. Let's turn our attention now to the Cincinnati Bengals. You are much higher on this team than I am. How are you betting them, whether it's win total, division, awards? What are you doing with Cincinnati with your opinion of this being a playoff team in 2025, something they have not been over the last couple seasons?
Yeah, I would look at the Bengals to make the playoffs. I know you have to lay a little bit of juice, but feels like a lot of people you listen to, you know, they're down on the Bengals, and it makes sense because the defense was awful last year. They really did nothing to improve. And now Hendrickson, it looks like they're going to move on for him. Obviously, now they're fielding offers from teams, putting him on the trade block. So, makes sense why people would be down on Cincinnati. I look at the Bengals, though, Femi, and I look at their schedule last year, and this was a team that went 9-8. And you look at all their wins, and pretty much all their wins were convincing. You know, like, none of their wins were games where it's like, oh, they were fortunate to win that one. All their wins, pretty solid. Whereas all their losses, I mean, there were a lot of games that could have gone their way. Both losses to Baltimore easily could have been wins. The Sunday night game against the Chargers was tied going into the fourth quarter. McPherson misses 2 field goals. They end up losing that game by 7. You obviously have the week 1 game against the Patriots where they're big favorites. They lose 16-10. Gesicki fumbles trying to stretch the ball across. How about the week 2 game against Kansas City? fourth and 18. A lot of people felt like Kansas City got bailed out on a PI call. So that was kind of the season it was for Cincinnati. You could play devil's advocate and say because their defense was so bad, that's what allowed them to lose a lot of those close games. But I really don't think it was mainly on the defense. I think, again, McPherson was a big part of it. Burrow had some interceptions in some of those games late that led to some losses. So it was really a team effort. They make the change with Al Golden now taking over for Lou Anarumo. And Femi, I think you're probably going to touch on this. I don't know if that's necessarily an upgrade. I like Al Golden a lot. I think Lou Anarumo was pretty good, though. We'll see if that move ends up paying off. But I just think this offense is so elite. And I think Burrow is so good. And because they did finish third in the division, they're obviously going to get an easier schedule than some of the other teams in the AFC. And, you know, I think this was a team that, yes, they went 9-8, could have easily gone 12-5, but instead we all focus on how bad the defense was. We all recognize how great the offense is going to be, and they're going to put up plenty of points again this year. If they can find a way to win some of those coin toss type games, I think that they're going to be much better. And Femi, we know in the Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow era, they've only won one game in the first 2 weeks. They have struggled mightily to get off to good starts, which is why they're putting such an emphasis this year on playing these guys in the preseason. So we don't know what Cincinnati looks like if they start fast. And maybe they don't do it again this year, but they're certainly putting an emphasis on it. They put themselves behind the eight ball constantly. So if the Bengals get the right bounces this year, they start the season a little bit better, and they are going to be favorites against the Browns, 6-point favorites week one against Cleveland. They do have a nice schedule to start the season. I think the Bengals are going to be a playoff team this season. So it feels like a lot of people are down on the Bengals, but I think this is going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those people that's down on them. I don't like their coach. I don't think Zach Taylor's a good coach. And you mentioned the defensive coordinators going from Lou Anarumo to now Al Golden. I do think it's a little bit of a downgrade, honestly. Like I'm with you. I think Lou Anarumo is actually a pretty good defensive coordinator. The team just doesn't have any talent. They don't have any talented players on that side of the ball outside of like Trey Hendrickson, who led the league in sacks. But like, there's a reason why they were getting lit on fire. And I know it's just a preseason game. You don't want to take too much away from it, but I thought it was pretty damn alarming that the Bengals' first team defense got barbecue chicken by the Eagles' backups. Like, they walked right down the field, running the ball however they wanted all day for Tanner McKee to pass. Like, this whole season and this whole offseason have been about, let's improve the defense. Let's get the defense back and up and running. Let's get it going. And that's how you come out? Like, what are you doing at training camp? What does it look like? What's going to happen when you go up against a number one defense? What is it going to be, a touchdown every single drive? Because that's what it was last year, pretty much. I just don't trust it, and I think it's a bummer because Joe Burrow is one of my favorite players in the league, and I think we're going to be wasting his prime as long as Zach Taylor's the head coach. I think they got to move on from him if they want to maximize what they have, and what they have is an elite quarterback who is one of the best in the league. So I'm just out. I'm out, and I hope they hire somebody. Maybe they hire Joe Brady, and they reconnect Joe Brady with Joe Burrow. We'll go back to the LSU days. Maybe that's what happens in 2026. But Zach Taylor, I've seen enough. I've seen enough with that guy. I'm way out on that team. So the way that I'm going to look to bet the Cincinnati Bengals, I think it's pretty simple. It's just going to be to miss the playoffs. Plus 120 is the price right now for them to miss the playoffs. I'll also probably have some win total under as well at 9.5. I don't see this team being a double-digit win team. I think they're going to find themselves in more coin flips. There's a reason why they're in these coin flip games. It's because they can barely get separation because they don't get stops. Some of those games go their way this year. Maybe they don't. We'll see. But I like the plus 120 and then the miss of playoffs. I think there's just much better buttoned-up operations in a tough conference. And if you don't come correct in the AFC, you're not going to get a seat at the table. So I'm out. I think the team missed the playoffs. I think the Commanders get into the playoffs, but they just lose in the divisional round. I do have a bet in tonight's game, a bet on the side, which we'll get into here coming up in the next segment. But I did want to hit a little bit of baseball news here, PJ, while we had some time, because this is like pretty big news that we haven't gotten to it so far in the show, but we should get into the show at least. Philadelphia Phillies right-handed pitcher Zach Wheeler underwent surgery to remove a blood clot in his right shoulder. This was something that happened over the weekend. Like, they placed him on the 15-day IL. He'd been talking about shoulder soreness for a couple of weeks now. That was something that we discussed a couple of weeks ago here when talking about the NL Cy Young. But, I mean, the Phillies' superpower is their pitching staff. And now you're taking about one of their most reliable guys who's been in big moments in October. And right now we don't have a timetable on his recovery. We'll see what happens with that. But, man, I've already been out on Philly anyways with Wheeler. Now that they don't have Wheeler for the foreseeable future, let's see what he looks like if he's able to come back in September. I don't know what you're supposed to do with this team. I actually think that, like, if the Mets could ever just get their stuff together and, like, try to string some wins together, like, maybe this is an opportunity to perhaps buy in on the New York Mets, who they're five games back, and it looks pretty disgusting right now. But, like, isn't this the buy point when you see the division leader currently hurt with their best pitcher out there no longer on the field? So I'm looking to buy some Mets stuff here. I think maybe that's the way to attack, or maybe we attack the NL market. But anything that stands out to you, PJ, when you're looking at the betting markets as it pertains to Zach Wheeler and the Philadelphia Phillies?
Definitely no interest in Philadelphia. I'm with you there. I mean, Wheeler's their top guy, and we don't know when he's going to be back, so that's certainly concerning. And also, I think this lineup is overrated too, Femi. I think their lineup is going to be...
Oh, it's terrible.
Their lineup's going to be more of what we saw against the Mets last year in the postseason than the team we saw a couple years before that, when we just think of them just hitting all these home runs, right? Like, I think that's who they are. Schwarber's been unbelievable, and he's made for big moments. You would expect him to continue to be great, but even like Harper, I'm worried about. Turner, Castellanos is so up and down, Real Muto. Like, there's so many guys in their lineup, you just have no idea what you're going to get. And I'd want to find more consistency if I'm betting on a team, to your point, which is why I like the Mets, if they can just figure it out, because I do like their lineup better than Philadelphia. On the other hand, though, I'm not crazy about their starting rotation. Bullpen has been so taxed that the Mets need to start scoring some runs to give them a little bit of a breather here going into September, and they hope October. But yeah, if you're comparing the two teams, definitely would be more pro Mets going into the playoffs than I would be the Phillies. I don't want any part of Philadelphia. You know, there are a lot of good teams in the National League, but really, you know, there aren't many I want to invest in, to be honest with you, especially at the price. Like the Dodgers, the price of what we're getting, they obviously could win the World Series again, but I don't want to bet them at that price. I think the Brewers are peaking way too early. San Diego, I'm still interested in. I know Jake doesn't want to go down that road anymore. I'm willing to maybe go in on San Diego again. And then I put in a future on Cincinnati as well. The Reds, to me, are one of those teams, if they can just get in with that pitching rotation, Abbott, Hunter Green, Chase Burns, if he can avoid a long-term injury, Francona is their manager. Cincinnati is a team that I like quite a bit. And then the Mets could intrigue me as well, depending on some prices we could get. But like the Phillies, to me, I group them with the Cubs. Like, that's a team come October, I'm good. You can have those two teams.
Yeah, and I'll say, you know what? Someone else can have them. I don't want them either, especially the Phillies, with the way that they can't hit. And now the pitching staff is taking a ding as well. We can't have this conversation, though, without our baseball aficionado here on You Better You Bet, the great Jake Hassan, who has the phenomenal BetMGM network background, which right now in the try box just says MGM work. Jake, where are you at right now with the Phillies, Zach Wheeler, 15-day IL? We don't know when he's going to come back, and how it pertains to the futures market as we kind of turn our attention to October.
The Phillies were already a very flawed team. I mean, we've heard ex-Cuban thrown out in this show how many times already, and it's exactly right. Like, and now you take Wheeler out of that equation. The pitching was the only thing that kept the Phillies interesting, because you had the 1-2 punch of Wheeler and Christopher Sanchez, and now Wheeler's gone and maybe out for the season with this blood clot thing. His timetable is TBD. I know it's the 15-day IL. We might not see him again. Doesn't this feel like Wemby from a couple months ago, where it was a blood clot and he's just gone? You're not seeing him again until next year. Wheeler's 35, so I'm not counting on seeing him again. And if Aaron Nola's going to be your two, or this version of Jesus Luzardo, I just don't think it's going to work. They were already flawed because of that lineup, and now you take out one of their best starting pitchers too, to boot. So as far as the futures, PJ's right. I still want nothing to do with the Padres, especially if they win the NL West. Then everyone's going to be even more in love with them and rushing to bet them. Honestly, at a certain point, do we just have to accept that maybe this is a buy point on the Dodgers? if everyone's going to talk about the Brewers and everyone's going to talk about the Padres and people are going to take some shots, I think what's happening is everyone's going, all right, let's take some shots with the Brewers, with the Reds, with the Braves, like some people want to talk about, hard to say who. Like, isn't this just a buy point for the Dodgers maybe as they get healthier, as Tommy Edmund comes off the injury list, Blake Snell is back? I think that maybe it's just going to be the Dodgers again, and maybe we just have to start doing some exactas if we want to try and start trying to find some hashtag value.
Yeah, we don't need to bring the Braves stuff up in mixed company out here in front of people, all right? That was just between the breaks. All right? We don't need to bring that stuff up. But, like, you bring up a good point, though, because it's something that
names.
I was thinking about.
I didn't say names.
Well, like, the point that you brought up about the pitching staff, though, like, I saw Blake Snell's stat line from over the weekend. I was like, huh, that's interesting. I didn't realize he was back, first and foremost, but also pretty good start. Like, that's exactly what you'd want for a frontline starter. And, like, they have, like, three of them. When you factor in Ohtani and Yamamoto as well. I mean, is Glasnow going to come back? Who knows? But it's a really deep pitching staff when all of those guys are healthy. It might just be them. I kind of agree with you that it might just be the Dodgers at the end of the day. But in the NL East, like, would you bet the Mets, Jake, in the NL East right now? Because, like, I'm sure there have been people that have been doing that with the Wheeler news, but they're plus 450 over at BetMGM. Is that a bet that interests you when we don't know when Wheeler's going to come back?
Not really. Not while the Mets look like this. They just, for right now, yeah. I don't have a ton of faith in the lineup. And like PJ said, the bullpen's still kind of wacky and they're figuring stuff out there. If they can get hot, I'll be interested in them as a World Series contender. We've talked about that. I've mentioned that they give me 2015 Royals vibes. So I still believe in that. I think the Phillies are going to be able to scrap and claw their way to the division title. And then, again, this is narrative. This is just reading tea leaves. But they'll win the division. Everyone will say, see, look how scrappy they are. They were able to do it without Wheeler, and now they'll get them back. And then people will start buying stock in them as a World Series contender. I think then that would be the buy point for me on the Mets.
Yeah. I have a Mets to win the World Series ticket. Ever since they bet that, they've been terrible. I'm not in a good place with the New York Mets right now. I wanted to love it, but yeah, it's been rather awful. But hey, sometimes that's how it goes. Maybe it comes back and they end up catching some heat out there in October and maybe can win this whole thing. But not feeling too optimistic as it stands right now in the middle of August. On the other side, though, we will get to all of our baseball bets and Monday Night Football, Bengals, Commanders, Power Hour plays coming at you to wrap up the show here on a Monday on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is the final segment of You Better You Bet here on a Monday. Femi Abebefe, PJ Glasser. Been a fun 4 hours on the program. And if you missed any part of the 4 hours, we talked a lot of NFL. Because guess what? It's August 18th. We're going to talk a lot of NFL. Also got into some college football. Might have put a hex on the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Like, we got into a lot of football throughout the show. And if you missed any part of it, make sure you check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio. You can go ahead and check us out at You Better You Bet. And check out all the great guests that we had on the program today. All zero of them. What a day it was here on You Better You Bet. But in all sincerity, a great, great show. And shout out to our crew, Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Ha, as PJ and I did a lot of heavy lifting here on a Monday. But you know what? Sometimes that's what happens, and that's why we get paid, baby. All right. After us, though, on the BetMGM Network, the good times will keep rolling along. They will, because from 7 to 11 Eastern time, make sure you're sweating NFL preseason, Major League Baseball with the dynamic duo of Ryan Horvat and Brad Evans, who's joining us right now. Brad Evans, the bald freak, the big noise. How we doing here on this Monday, my man?
Hola, amigos! I am ultra freaky deaky today, gentlemen.
Hey, we absolutely love it. We got a Monday Night Football game tonight, man. Before we get to the game, I want to talk about what happened over the weekend. Is there anything that really stood out to you from a fantasy standpoint, from a betting standpoint? Not trying to take too much away from these preseason games, but there is some stuff that we can take away, right?
The one I think prominent takeaway, in my opinion, was Ashton Jeanty. I mean, he looked like the real deal Holyfield out there, trucking over fools, is playing supreme contact balance, power, and acceleration. And a guy that was really kind of getting it done in a variety of ways. Tough inside runs, tough outside runs. A guy that had a couple of catches as well, punching one in for six and showing that leg leverage that he possesses. I know everybody was kind of freaking out at Ashton Jeanty about a week ago. He was falling outside of round one in a lot of 12-team fantasy drafts. A guy that people were just outright stealing in the second round of those exercises. Well, now I think he is firmly back into the back half of round one. And if you pull the heist of the century and took advantage of the skittish that were out there, that were panicking over a whopping three carries for minus 1 yards in a meaningless preseason game in the first one, congratulations. He may be carrying you to the promised land, meaning the fantasy playoffs, and maybe to title town as well. The other big takeaway, I'll just add in one more, was Tank Bigsby. Seeing the majority of the first team touches, and not only that, guys, the devil's teeth are chattering. He caught a football for 19 yards. I don't know Tank Bigsby could catch anything, not even a cold, but he caught a real pigskin, so congratulations to him.
That's my mind is blown about the Jeanty stuff that you were outlining. Now, it's been a minute since I've been in them fantasy streets. Haven't played since 2011. The fact that people were overreacting to three carries, that's insane to me. Like, that's absolutely insane. It's just, maybe we're just way too close to the trees now that like we lose the plot these days. But okay, so Jeanty, they were overreacting. What about to the positive though? Because every person that has a football Twitter account, every publication, every outlet, everyone's tweeting about Travion Henderson. 100-yard kickoff 2 weeks ago. Had the touchdown once again on Saturday against Minnesota. Like, at what point do we have to pump the brakes on Travion Henderson? Because it sounds like he might be going. I mean, he's never going the first round in fantasy drafts. But, like, how high is he going? What's the ADP like after another successful weekend for the Patriots rookie running back?
Yeah, he's going prominently in round three of 12-team drafts. And I think that is at peak evaluation, in my opinion. He's RB19 right now off the board. And I think that's a flipping crazy. People buying him hook, line, and sinker. Yeah, he's got the explosiveness. It's very apparent on that 100-yard kickoff return that he had a couple of weeks ago. Of course, find the end zone again. Ramondre Stevenson's a little bit banged up. I mean, the guy's got skills to pay the fantasy bills. But at that juncture of the draft in round three, I'm not going all in by any stretch of the imagination. I still think it's going to be at least a start, probably a 55 to 45 split between him and Ramondre Stevenson. I think will be somewhat of a perpetual thorn in the side of Henderson, especially in short yardage and goal line situations. And you know how healthy this New England offense as a whole is still to be determined. So don't go head over heels. Don't go berserk. Don't go ballistic for Travion Henderson based on what he has done in meaningless football action. I think he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be top 20 running back good. So, yeah, slow your roll a little.
Yeah, no, it feels like people are really, really getting crazy with Travion Henderson, and I get it. Like, it's easy to be excited about how he's been looking so far throughout this preseason and all the reports coming out of Patriots training camp. All right, let's get to it. What is your best bet tonight and why?
I'm going to go with Ramon Laureano on the over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBI, also known as HRR, but also most affectionately known as HRR at a minus 110. Take on the San Francisco Giants. The former Oriole has done this in four of his last five games, and he's going against Robbie Ray, a guy that he has had incredible history against. He's 7-for-12 lifetime against him with three doubles and a home run. He's actually 5-for-8 against the San Francisco Giants this season with a home run and a couple of RBI. So Ramon Laureano, formerly the O's, now of the San Diego Padres. Give me the over 1.5 on the air at a minus 110.
I love that. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. So let's go. Ramon Laureano. We'll be back in our guy, Brad Evans. Once again tonight, 7 to 11 Eastern. BetMGM tonight. Brad and Ryan, check them out after us here on You Better You Bet. Brad, have a great show, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bengals minus 1.5 in the first half. I'm out!
That is the bald freak, Brad Evans, joining us here on You Better You Bet. All right, PJ, before we get to our Power Hour plays, we must drop the dope-ass beat. So, Jake, drop that beat, and let's go ahead and let the folks know about the cool promotions that our friends at BetMGM have to offer. BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and SGPs. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and please gamble responsibly. All right, let's go ahead and get to the Power Hour plays tonight's slate, and we'll begin with Monday Night Football. All my rowdy friends, PJ, they're not coming over, but they will be watching the Bengals and the Commanders. We're right now in the betting market, active movement. We have the Bengals down to a 3-point favorite, total sitting at 43. What do you like tonight? Side and total, Monday Night Football back in our lives.
Give me the Commanders plus the points, plus 3.5 at home, Femi. They got embarrassed. They got embarrassed in week one of preseason against the Patriots. Opening kickoff, they take it back to the house. They give up 48 points. This was the team, right? Obviously, coming into this season, a lot of expectations. You got Jaden Daniels. You're off the NFC title berth. And I think maybe they were listening to that a little bit too much going to that first preseason game. I think for a team, obviously, we're going to see most of the backups tonight, third string, fourth stringers that got embarrassed like that, going up against the Bengals defense throughout the game. It's going to be terrible. I'll take the Commanders plus 3.5 tonight against Cincinnati.
Oh, let's make it a show bet. We are in lockstep, Glassman. I'm also rocking with the Commanders. There are still 3.5s out there. BetMGM has a 3.5. A couple other sportsbooks have a 3.5. But this bad boy is going to 3 prior to kickoff. So, like, I would do this now. If you're contemplating, do I want to bet tonight's game or not? Just take the Commanders plus the points. It'll age in your favor, at least with the closing line value. And then we'll see what happens in the game. But you will at least have a valuable bet that you're holding in your pocket. I like all of the things that you had to say, PJ. The quarterback depth chart, I actually think is, you know, pretty even. You get Jaden Daniels, which for what it will be a few series is what head coach Dan Quinn is calling it. Marcus Mariota has been dealing with some injuries. We'll see if he gets out there. But Josh Johnson, he's played for about 23 teams in the league. I think he can handle a preseason game. Sam Hartman probably leaves a little bit to be desired, but I'll take him against that terrible Cincinnati defense. And on the Cincinnati Bengals side, yeah, they got some guys with Ritter and Peyton Thorne or whatever and Jake Browning behind Joe Burrow, but I think the defense is too bad. They can't be laying that kind of points, though. So Washington plus 3.5 for me tonight. I'm not going to do anything with the total. Let's get to Major League Baseball, where we have 8 games on our Power Hour slate. Orioles, Red Sox, a big one in Beantown, as the Red Sox are squarely in this AL wildcard race. Got the Guardians and the Diamondbacks in that race as well, with the Guardians, Dodgers, Rockies, Giants, Padres, with that NL West race shaping back to the Dodgers side after sweeping the Padres. PJ, what do you like tonight on the diamond and why?
Taking the Orioles at plus 100, Femi. Best kept secret in MLB right now is Trevor Rogers for the Orioles. He's 5-2 with a 1.43 ERA and 69 1/3 innings pitched. He's been unbelievable. I'm going to bet him to win this 2026 AL Cy Young Award, and I can't wait. Guy's been fantastic, and they keep giving us the Orioles as money line underdogs when he's on the mound. We're going to bet them. Also, Femi, they've called up their best two prospects the last couple nights, Dylan Beavers, Sam Basayo. I think it's injecting like some good vibes into the O's. They blanked the Astros 12-0 last night. I think they keep it rolling, so give me the O's on the money line. And then I'll take the under in Dodgers-Rockies, 11.5. Yamamoto going for the Dodgers, obviously been awesome this season. But Kyle Freeland, who's faced the Dodgers plenty in his career, has some good numbers against a lot of guys in this lineup. So with it being out in Coors, you're getting the high total. But I think the pitching matchup too high will go under 11.5 Dodgers-Rockies.
Awesome. All right. I have no bets in Major League Baseball. I'll be watching the Monday Night Football game. And on the iPad right now, I have the Mariners and Phillies game on. So let's go, Mariners. Let's get back on track. A little bit of a tough series against the Mets. Let's not make a mess of this East Coast road trip and undo all the goodwill that we did at home a couple weeks ago. I'll be locked in on the Mariners game. And, of course, locked in on Monday Night Football between the Bengals and the Commanders. Let's take command, +3.5 tonight at home. So those are all of our bets. I'll have some baseball tomorrow because there's not going to be any football, but let's be honest, I'm locked in on football these days. But we'll have some baseball coming up at you tomorrow on a Tuesday. But that does it for us here on this edition of You Better You Bet here on this Monday. PJ, good luck with the bets, man. I will chat with you on Friday where we'll be finalizing our Week 0 college football betting card.
Man, that's, can't wait for it. Femi, going to be great. Let's go Commanders. Hopefully they cover the 3.5 for us tonight.
Let's go. PJ just heard that Week 0 college football betting card, and it was like music to his ears. It's music to my ears as well. Nick Kostos will be back with us tomorrow. But for PJ Glasser, for our entire crew, I'm Femi Abebefe saying good luck with all the bets. We'll see you guys tomorrow here on the BetMGM Network.
Thanks for listening to You Better You Bet. Up next, it's BetMGM Tonight on the BetMGM Network.